This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello, so Peter is here tonight, but it's actually myself, Andrew Gundling, hosting ENN this
evening.
Hey,
hi. Hey.
Hey there. Hey, indeed. Well, I guess I'll start with Peter and say, Peter, how are you?
In the Euros 2020 semifinal, Denver now, Denver.
The ha on its own almost could have been a drop.
Solid point by you. And Don, I think we have someone who's going to be, they're going to be hanging out there in March.
Oh, yeah.
Got a shot. It's got a shot. We say hello to Don.
Lake Tahoe is the site, one of the most breathtaking places in the world.
You know what?
It's not that great.
Breathtaking and moth? The fact that you said the moth breathtaking, Don, how dare you undersell
that?
When
you see something that spectacular, you're going to
develop a lisp.
That's right.
Naturally.
That happens to people, I hear, in their 50s sometimes. Now, real quick, Andrew, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I do have to say something important. Number one, I have SmackDown tickets within the next 15 minutes. 4-pack of tickets to SmackDown. Number two, Don, did you see Michael's last couple of texts?
Yeah. He's miserable.
Now, first of all, he said he's gonna take me up on drinking. We'll see if that turns out to be true. But, Don, in the next picture he sent us, he said, here's another photo for the Summer of K. And I wouldn't share this photo publicly. That's the kind of thing he would do. He looked like he aged in the 5 minutes between the two pictures.
Yeah, this vacation's killing him dead. And I mean that affectionately. I know Peter. I know Michael. See, that's the thing, is we're not exaggerating. I know him way better than Jody does.
Mm, it's real love.
Now, Jody loves him more, but I just know, I know what he likes and he doesn't like. And I heard this vacation and I didn't think it was for him. Am I wrong?
He looks very relaxed though. Don't you think?
He looked relaxed. Yeah. I mean, not relaxed. Yeah. Actually, you know what? I think Don's right. I think he looks miserable. In both pictures, he looks like slightly miserable. Or like the first one, he's like, look at me. I'm having a good time, aren't I? And then the second one, he just looks sort of exasperated. But anyways, listen, I know the audience can't see the pictures. Yeah. And like I said, I can't share them, though Michael's the kind of guy who would. But we just hope he's having a good time. And I personally hope he gets lit tonight.
Well, maybe he'll drunk dial the station later.
That would be so much.
Oh, please.
Let's see, guys. We start ENN tonight with the Mets. They beat the Brewers in the first game of their doubleheader. The rare 8-inning, extra inning win. Here is what it sounded like.
And McNeil lines one, base hit. Lindor is in. Here comes Smith. Here comes Bradley's throw to the plate on a hop. Not in time, and the Mets win it.
Gary Cohen on SNY.
Beautiful.
And, you know, we're going to talk a lot of Mets. I know there's this feeling like, oh, we're on the Yes Network, and Michael's the Yankee announcer, and we're a Yankee show. Listen, the Yankees are immensely popular, and people want to talk about them all the time. And for a long stretch, there wasn't a lot to say about the Mets unless you were complaining. Something's happening here. Something's percolating with this team. I don't think they're a great team by any stretch, but they're a team that deserves to be in first place. They'll be double digits above 500 if they can win the game tonight, sweep a really good Brewers team. They could possibly do that. And even if they don't, they still won the series. This is a fun team.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if maybe all the injuries made it a little more difficult for fans to really get on board and believe in them. Kind of, you know, I mean, you sort of know the psyche of the Met fan. They're always waiting for that dark cloud to appear. And maybe they have been waiting and waiting, and yeah, maybe it just won't.
I had a Met fan. I'm not going to say his name.
Okay.
Because people know him. Who's like, yeah, this team isn't very good. Can we stop? And a lot of that just comes from just kind of want to set you up for the fall. And I look at this team, and again, I think they're flawed, but I think they're flawed in a very flawed league. And besides, the best teams are all out west. I think the Giants are doing it with mirrors. I really do. I think I think they're going to come back down to earth. And this Trevor Bauer situation with the Dodgers, now, what if he doesn't pitch again this year? They've already postponed his bobblehead night. He's not pitching for them now. We don't know where that's going to go. Now, the Dodgers are still very good even without Trevor Bauer, but they've got their flaws too. So why can't the Mets parlay winning a bad division into maybe going to the World Series? What? Why is that such an impossibility? It just happened 6 years ago.
Well, they'll certainly have a chance with their starting pitching. If they can continue to get that, then they'll have a chance in every game. It's going to be hard to blow them out. You know, rotations shorten up in the postseason, so those three guys will pitch a lot. And one of them today, Jacob deGrom, a historic performance today. Recorded his 1,500th strikeout. He reached the mark in just 198 games, passes Randy Johnson, who did it in 206 games, for the second fastest in MLB history. Only Yu Darvish did it faster, one game faster, and he just did that last month. Here is DeGrom afterwards talking about the achievement.
I actually didn't know that I was that close to 1,500 until I think Lindor said throw the ball in, and then I looked up and I was like, oh, wow. So, yeah, it was very special. You know, like I said, playing in front of fans has been a blast, and they've always treated me very well. And, you know, that ovation that I got, I didn't really know what to do at that moment. I was like, okay, I kind of just want to get back to pitching. I don't know what to do. But very cool and a very special moment.
So props to Jacob deGrom.
Great guy to root for.
You okay, Don?
No. Very emotional about it.
Better?
Got like a summer cold. And it's really bothering me. And apparently it's bothering other people.
Let's see, Don. You mentioned before Trevor Bauer. And you're right. They canceled bobblehead night. They pulled all of his merchandise as well. In a statement, the Dodgers said they, quote, did not feel it was appropriate to continue to promote Bauer items while investigations occur by Major League Baseball and the Pasadena Police Department. Major League Baseball, of course, placed Bauer on paid administrative leave on Friday after he was accused of sexual assault. The bobblehead night was previously scheduled for August 19th.
Now, baseball's going to do their own investigation. And let's say they investigate and what they find out is it's something that's worth that they're going to go to trial over. He's not pitching again this year. They would have to find that this is a complete nothing story. And then everything, no harm, no foul, charges are dropped. He goes back to work. Because remember, baseball can suspend without there being a conviction. So with the information he's already admitted to, if this isn't settled out of court, and even if it is, will baseball find enough to say, I think he could still be suspended? And how quick will the investigation be? Or the exoneration be, well, he'll be, you know, back pitching anytime soon. Him not pitching again this season's got to be on the table.
I'm sure you're right. I don't know. I guess it depends how long the investigation goes and whether or not he's, you know, what the outcome of that is. I don't know. I don't know how this will play out.
Well, because the only way it could be quick would be, all right, it's completely made up. But we know that's not the case because he's admitted to being with her. He's admitted to doing some of, you know, the rough stuff, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just a matter of whether it's consensual or not. So if they investigate that happened, now they can't investigate whether she's, you know, telling the truth or not. That's got to be that may never be found out. So that's got to go to trial. So you know what I mean, Peter? What are they going to investigate and find nothing? No, they're going to find something. Then it's got to go to trial and figure out where it goes. I just don't see how there can be an investigation that's going to have him back on the mound after the All-Star break.
This one could get pretty pretty intense. And I mean, whatever. You know what? I was going to talk about specifics, but with this kind of story, I'd rather go ahead and lay out.
The fact that we're not giving specifics should tell you just how awful, you know, it is.
Well, how awful it sounds.
Whether it's criminal or not, that's another story.
Well, how awful it sounds, because the truth is, the way he's described it could be completely okay based on what people as consenting adults want to do. But you have no idea if that's true. And someone has accused him, and they deserve to be heard. They're saying that is not how it played out, and we absolutely should hear her side of it, and we'll find out, we'll get an answer. But that's why I'm not. It's not worth speaking on, Dom, because it's like there are plenty of people who have private lives where if you were to try to describe what it sounded like in public, it would be like, whoa, right. That doesn't sound right, but could be completely fine.
But think about it. He's on leave. They've pulled his merch.
Well, what that tells us, I would assume, is that they've done due diligence and know that there's smoke here. And
right.
Maybe they know other things. You know, like sort of like we talked about with Deshaun Watson. Like maybe they knew, maybe they had some idea when they were unwilling to budge with Deshaun that they knew there were things going on around him that were not good. And in fact, maybe they'd covered it up for some time. And once he started getting nasty with them, they were kind of like, you know what? We don't need his nonsense. Maybe with Trevor Bauer, you know, maybe these teams are doing the diligence. They know what people are into.
You could very well be right. But I also look at that and think that some of that could be optics. Like if you walk into the Dodgers team store and there's Bauer merchandise everywhere, you're kind of opening yourself up for fans to come in and tweet, wow, look what the Dodgers are doing, still selling this great merchandise.
That's a great
can't
point.
Do it.
That's a great point by Andy.
And especially how poorly they handled it early on, to the point where it's the 30th anniversary of their 81 championship. And I had forgotten, because he was a rookie at the time, Dave Stewart was on that Dodger team. And he's refusing to go to the ceremony because of the way the Dodgers originally handled it. Remember, baseball was the one that put him on administrative leave. The Dodgers weren't going to do anything. So now they're probably...
I forgot about that. I feel like the Dave Stewart thing was the first one I ever even heard of.
So now they're going to do probably a 180 and make sure they're hypersensitive to it. So that's a great point, Andrew. Good call. Good pull.
Especially right now, someone puts it up on Instagram. Oh, glad to see they take this seriously.
Right. Let's see, guys. The Stanley Cup Final. The season could end tonight. The Lightning host the Canadiens up 3-1. Couple notes on this one. Don, of course, made his ice pick earlier, picking Tampa to end it tonight. Lightning have not lost consecutive postseason games since they were swept in 2019 in the first round by Columbus. They've won 14 straight times in the playoffs immediately after a loss, the longest such streak in the NHL, in NHL history. So that bodes well for them tonight. They will not have Alex Killorn, though, Don. He's listed as doubtful.
Since game one, so they were still able to win a couple of games without him. Listen, they're so superior to Montreal, and I think the Canadiens played a great game. They made some tweaks to the lineup with their third-pairing defenseman because they were getting exposed there by this just really good offensive team that Tampa has. So I think it ends tonight in Tampa. And remember, the Lightning won the Cup last year, but they didn't get to do it in front of their fans. So now they got a chance to do that for the first time since they won their first Cup in 04. And they're 18,000-plus in the building, bunch of fans outside. Apparently the hurricane was not that bad in Tampa from what I understand, so it looks like everybody's okay. So it should be a celebratory night. I think they finish it off.
And it's certainly a ticket that is highly in demand. According to Vivid Seats, the median price for listed tickets for Game 5 is $1,882, down slightly from Tuesday. But that's the median price. That's not the high. That's right in the middle.
They've got a nice – people have been critical of it because compared to other cities. But Tampa's an underrated sports town, and they really love the Lightning. That's been a team that's been good now for a good 20 years, consistently good. Like I said, they won the Cup in 04. They've been a perennial playoff team. And that you can't say that all the time about the Bucks and the Rays, for sure. And there's a lot of Northerners down there, a lot of Canadians down in Florida, too. A lot of snowbirds, and they've built up a nice fan base there.
Yeah.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21-plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So as Peter had been mentioning a little bit here and there throughout the show, it's going to be England versus Italy in the European Championship final this Sunday at Wembley Stadium. England went down early in what really would have been a horrifying loss for them. They tied it up shortly before halftime. Score remained tied through 90 minutes. Went to extra time. Raheem Sterling was fouled in the box. Penalty to England. So up steps their captain, Harry Kane. Here's Ian Dark on the call for ESPN.
If he can convert it. He does it, but he gets another chance and puts it in, and England lead. 2-1. Kane on the rebound.
Man, that is a cruel way to lose. Saving a penalty and having the rebound converted, that is just brutal.
So you can rebound off the penalty kick.
When it's a penalty taken during like regular play.
But
not in penalties. Like once it ends 120 minutes, they go to penalties. Then you just take your shot and you're done. But if it happens during the course of the game, yes, then it's a live ball the second that you kick it. Yeah.
I got to tell you, I've never felt strongly about this before because I don't think I've ever seen a situation that like that was this dramatic where that play was so decisive. That shouldn't be legal. It's crazy.
I'm glad
you
said that.
The goalie makes an unbelievable stop and gets punished by having it just put right back in over his other side. I don't know. It feels like it should just be dead once you make the stop.
Yeah, I'm with Peter. Now, again, I'm not soccer guy. I'm kind of going by the hockey end of it. Like, imagine if there was a penalty shot in a hockey game and you were able to rebound it.
That's reasonable, though, what you're saying. Like, I don't think that that's – I think there are definitely soccer fans out there that would be on board with that change. I wouldn't have a problem, really, with that if they made that change because it is so cruel. Saving a penalty is really hard to do. So, like, it feels like you should be rewarded for doing it, but obviously that was not the case as Denmark and their ride to the semifinals ends today in England. So it's – as far as final matchups go – two really high-profile teams, England and Italy, in a really high-profile venue at Wembley Stadium. They're letting in, I think it's 60,000, so there will be an amazing atmosphere for it. Should be fun. Sunday at 3 o'clock. I believe it's on ABC.
The 60,000's great, but it's not going to look full, obviously.
I think the stadium seats somewhere around 85.
By the way, talk about half pregnant. Really?
Yeah, that's a great point,
come
Peter.
60,000, like, really, just fill the thing up, all right? It's outside. I mean, now listen, I'm listening to The Daily and hearing about all these COVID variants and that COVID is definitely still a real thing and we don't know what the fall is going to look like, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're going to have people outdoor at a stadium, 60,000 of them, just fill it up so it looks great on TV at 85. Who cares?
It is odd now that they obviously had it very rough over there for a long period of time. But I was thinking the same thing in Montreal, right? They only allow 3,500 people in the building, even though there seems to be a lot more than that. They asked Quebec if they can go up to 10,500. They said no. But meanwhile, it looks like you got like 50,000 people outside the arena. Now, it's outside, I get it, but they're jam-packed in front of whatever the television screen is at the arena. Nobody's wearing masks. You know, so it seems odd. And obviously, it's a designated area by the province, by the Canadians, but only 3,500 in the building?
Yeah.
I'm not that guy. You know that. You've been listening for going on 16 months now. You know, but it's that kind of inconsistency and that kind of like where it feels like you're just throwing it up against the dartboard that frustrates people. And then meanwhile, you go to Tampa and they got 18,000 plus.
Yeah.
So well, everybody's making up their own rules.
Different countries, I guess, just are in different places. I don't know. It's hard.
Sometimes different states.
That too. Let's see. Before we close out ENN, Peter, I believe you have SmackDown tickets to give away.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is going down. September 10th, Madison Square Garden, WWE is back on the road, and the bright lights of Madison Square Garden will be firmly planted on the head of the table. Acknowledge him, Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion, Bianca Belair. Let's see, Sasha Banks, Rey Mysterio, Seth Rollins, so many more. I am so excited for this show, and right now, a four-pack of tickets to the ninth caller. At 888-987-ESPN, 888-987-ESPN, a four-pack of tickets to hang out at Madison Square Garden on September 10th for WWE SmackDown. All from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, I like that.
There you go. I see the lines already just flooded.
Oh, come on. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Let's see. Before we close out, a couple quick ones here. Roger Federer lost in the quarterfinals today at Wimbledon. Yeah, and it wasn't pretty either. Not only did he lose, he lost in straight sets.
No.
A thing that he had not done since he had first won Wimbledon. Lost his final set 6-0. He had never lost a set at Wimbledon by that scoreline. I don't know. There's some people wondering if this was kind of a sign of the end.
Well, how old is he?
He caught a break. I'm sorry? He's 39, I believe. He caught a break in the first round. His opponent retired, and so he caught a break there. But then he picked up a couple wins and got to the quarters. And yikes, bikes. Yeah, he's 39 years old. He'll be 40 August 8th. And the craziest thing about Federer to me is that when he became Roger Federer, you know, 15 years ago, and was that period of whatever, 07 to 2013, whatever the run was, and we watched him shatter every male player that we'd ever thought was great, right? Including Sampras, who I thought I'd never see better than Sampras. He absolutely crushed Sampras for all-time greatness. Sorry. And now he's going to get crushed by Djokovic when it's all said and done.
Yeah, that's what happens.
He's going to end up being behind Nadal and Djokovic. So it's just been an incredible run in men's tennis. And probably the end of the line here. I'm guessing he finishes it out at the U.S. Open.
Could be. Djokovic, by the way, did win today to advance to the semifinals. And that will do it for ENN on this Wednesday.
Beautifully done. He's the GOAT.
Yeah, he's
Fire the other guy.
We got to twist his arm to do it again tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. Kalis again. We'll recap Yankees. We'll recap Mets. But coming up next, it's Dan Grasso and Willie Colon filling in for Chris Carlin. And it's all right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.